Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet
I'm nationwide. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for very much for hanging out with us. Thanks for continuing to be with us as we continue to celebrate our 12th anniversary week of the Small Business Advocate Show. As I've warned you, already today, as we kick off our 12th anniversary week celebration, it's just going to be only slightly more obnoxious this week than our typical weeks are. But it's a big week because we got a lot of our old friends back on the show. We've asked a lot of our folks who've been with us a long time to join us, including our good friend Wayne Cruz, who's been with me since 98. In fact, September was the 11th anniversary of Wayne Cruz's first appearance on this show, all the way back in 98. Wayne, as you know, folks, is VP for Policy and the Director of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, and he's our good friend. Wayne Cruz, welcome back.
Jim, thank you for having me, and happy 12th birthday. You know, you're almost a teenager.
I know it. I feel so young.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I guess small business is doing its job, but we're in Washington trying to beat back this regulatory state. But we've, since 98, as you say, we've got, now we've got a federal budget that's $3 trillion. It didn't hit $2 trillion until a couple of years after 98. The federal government's growing by leaps and bounds, and now regulations are. But it's good. I mean,
including, I think it's important to say here, Wayne, that the government has grown, regulations have grown, and government has gotten more in our way through Democrat administrations and Congresses and Republican administrations and Congresses. What's the common theme here, Wayne? It's not Republicans. It's not Democrats. I'm starting to get the idea that the impediment to a healthy economy is not one party or the other. It's the political class. What do you think?
Right. It's definitely the political process. And before I answer that, let me just say part of the answer that I think for small business that we've got to keep pushing at groups like CEI is for deregulatory stimulus. We've got to come up with ways of lowering.
Tell us what you mean by what's deregulatory stimulus.
Well, basically, all of these areas that we're going to talk about today are new regulations and extensions of old, and what we've got to do is put a commission together and root and branch, roll back a bunch of that stuff and not do a lot of the new bad things like cap and trade and some of the worst elements of healthcare reform. In other words, you don't have to tell the grass to grow, you know, just take the rock off top of it.
Right, exactly.
So we've got to make sure that Washington and its both parties does what a government is supposed to do. I mean, a government is a certain kind of thing. It's not an insurance company. It's not a charity. It's a limited institution that's supposed to protect our rights and enforce contracts and things of that sort, not become the economic entities that operate in society itself, like the healthcare program or heavy management of whole sectors of the economy, like is taking place with the Sarbox rules and things like that. But it's both political parties. I mean, under Republicans, we got the antitrust laws, we got the Energy Department, the Consumer Product Safety Commission,
we got
EPA.
The steel tariffs.
That's right. See, those, exactly, the tariffs especially. I mean, these came in under Bush, the Medicare prescription drug benefit. So it's under Republicans that we got some of the largest programs of all. There's no question about it. The popular line is always that Republicans favor economic liberty and. But if only.
The only thing that the Republicans favor more than economic liberty is getting reelected. And see, this is the issue. I've been thinking a lot about this lately, Wayne. And if you think about the problems we have with politicians, it seems to me, is that the, and you said it a minute ago, you talked about the electoral process. The electoral process gets out of sync with, or I should say, the economic process, the economic cycles that we have, when their stars, when the stars of the economic process gets crossed with the stars of the electoral process, that's when we get, that's when small business owners get screwed. Because, like, you know, just like next year's an election year. There's no telling what Congress, Republicans and Democrats, are going to vote for next year to try to get themselves reelected, even if it's things that ultimately hurt the marketplace, ultimately hurt small business owners.
Right. There's no telling what they'll promise. I mean, I remember McCain in the presidential debate suddenly seemed like off the top of his head came up with a new program to buy up everybody's mortgage.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's
just hey, Wayne, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with our good friend Wayne Cruz. He was with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. Quick break. Twenty tail. I'll be right back.
Between the two of us, guys, you know I love you more. It took me by surprise.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame as we celebrate our 12th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show and our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. We built it just for you. Lots of stuff there. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes, anywhere in between those two on any topic under the Small Business Sun. We got something for you there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, lots and lots of stuff to help you out. So check it out, folks. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. So our show and our website is 12 years old, and our newsletter, which I mentioned a minute ago, that's 10 years old this week. And we just sent out our 521st edition of that publication. Wayne Cruz is with us. He's been with us for over 10 of those years. Actually, yeah, over 10 of those years. No, over 11 years. That's right. Wayne, you were with us the first time in September of 98, so you've already had an 11th anniversary. We appreciate your support. Wayne is with CEI, a Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. And Wayne's one of the folks, he and his organization are the folks who, some of the folks in Washington, D.C., who go bang on the door of policymakers when it looks like they're about to do something that's going to hurt you and me and our small businesses. And Wayne, for that, we appreciate you very much. And,
thank you.
We were just talking about the mistakes the problem with the misalignment of the economic cycle with the electoral cycle. And you mentioned Sarbanes-Oxley a minute ago. That's a classic example. Sarbanes-Oxley should never have been passed. We didn't need Sarbanes-Oxley.
Right.
It's not just useless, folks. It's a damaging, a destructive policy. It was passed for one reason and one reason only, so politicians could show the electorate that they were doing something about those mean guys at Enron. When the truth is, all they did was send IPOs overseas.
Well, now you should know, Jim, that when the time comes in December, some other folks from CEI could come on. But we challenged a lot of elements of Sarbanes-Oxley, but one component of it, the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, we challenged that as an unconstitutional case. That's going to the Supreme Court. It'll be heard on the 17th of December. So that thing is going all the way to the Supreme Court.
And your guys contact me.
Don't worry. But you know what you were saying earlier about the misalignment of the electoral cycles and all. It tends to kind of align with the political cycle. what happens is you have heavy benefits, you know, political benefits that can be gotten by, you know, by lobbying or through a select few, and consumers don't have, and small businesses often don't have the clout to fight it. So we're getting cap and trade, or the attempt at cap and trade, not because it's beneficial, but because a lot of big energy companies know that if they can come together and work together and set up these carbon trading permits, plus get free allocations of them at the beginning, that they reap these huge windfall benefits.
Where on the surface, on the surface, it might seem like cap and trade would be bad for the big companies.
Right.
The truth is, folks, the truth is because they've got the money and the ability and the power to manipulate things so that it's good for all of us, and they're global, and so many of them are global companies. And we're not talking about all companies, just certain companies, right?
Right.
And that's the reason why you and I may get sold down the river by companies like GE and some of these others. We might get sold down the river as small business owners, so those guys can cook a deal with the politicians.
And it's like that with a lot of these things. I mean, Sarbanes-Oxley is, you don't see accountants complaining. They the big accounting firms, even though they were the ones partly responsible for some of the book cooking, they can benefit from this because they can deal with the regulations.
Small businesses, every audit that a small business has right now of their books, Wayne, is higher than it would have been prior to Sarbanes-Oxley.
Exactly. Now, one thing, it looks like, and I don't know the details of this yet, a colleague just mentioned to me that the SEC was recognizing the impact of this on small business, and even some Democratic congressmen were talking about the burdens of Sarbanes-Oxley and the need to change, at least have some relaxation in it for smaller companies. And I know for smaller public companies as opposed to private, that the exemption had been about $75 million of a public float, and the SEC had proposed that go up to that be extended through June of next year. But now it looks like, I think, I'll check this, but I think Congress has acted to even raise the amount of that float, so there's a little bit of relaxation there. But we really have to if you want an economic recovery, all this spending that's going on now, everything from cash to clunker to green energy subsidy and all that, it doesn't substitute for reducing the burdens on small business itself, because that's where the jobs are created in the first place. I was just revisiting a list I'd put together for an earlier, much earlier edition of 10,000 Commandments, that annual report I do on regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of tallying, as a small business starts off with one employee, what regulations apply? With two employees, what applies? And then with 5 or 10 or 25. And, looking at those kind of burdens, thinking of ways to relax them, not increase them, with new health care mandates, for example, which would be absolutely
or the card check bill. See, the thing is, I get interviewed quite often by journalists, and one of the things that they've been asking me last year or so is, what can the government do to help small business owners? And I tell them one thing and one thing only: get out of our way. We don't need you to loan us more money. We don't need you to help us sell stuff. We just need you to get out of our way.
Well, that's
hold on to that. Hold on to that thought, Wayne. I'm
going to
let you comment on that. We'll come back after these messages. We're going to talk some more with our good friend Wayne Cruz. He's with Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. You can find his 10,000 Commandments on regulations right there at that website. It's very important. He's been doing it a long time. Quick break. 10 till. Stay with me.
She was hanging on, Johnny.
Little Heartland music bringing us back. That's a little John Mellencamp right out of Heartland America. Some good Indiana music there. John Mellencamp is one of my favorites, and I bet he is yours too. He's done some good songs over the years, hasn't he? And we've had him. We've been spinning his platters here on the Small Business Advocate Show for a long time. In fact, about 12 years now, because this is our 12th anniversary week. Wayne Cruz is with us. He's already had an 11th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. He's with CEI, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne, tell us about CEI.
CEI is a libertarian policy advocacy group. We tend to focus on the regulatory state, on government interventions in the economy and in business, whereas a lot of other groups are doing tax and budget and the war and social issues. We tend to focus on the regulatory side of everything.
What's the difference in a libertarian, a conservative, and a liberal? What's the difference in a libertarian and a liberal? They come from the same root word, don't they?
They're funny jokes about the differences between them all, but libertarians basically want the government out of the boardroom and the bedroom, either one. So, so we're not we don't think government helps much in either segment. So, we basically you restrict government to its basic functions is in a nutshell what our views are. You said a while ago, get out of our way, leave us alone. It's kind of that kind of that vibe, but it's just more across the board, more with respect to personal issues.
But do you think, Wayne, that Americans really want that now? Do you think Have we started getting comfortable with the idea, dangerously comfortable with the idea of government? Aren't Americans more likely to have a problem and say, why doesn't somebody in the government do something about this? Isn't that the most dangerous thing we could say?
I think it is the most dangerous, and it is what people do. But yet, at the same time, people are showing up at tea parties, you know, and there's this tension of what people really say they believe and then what they'll actually vote for sometimes, because people do rally for more government involvement in schools when it ought to be less, and more government involvement in health care when it ought to be less, more in energy when it ought to be less.
Do you think these tea parties and the way the electorate is acting about things that they don't like these days, the resistance against the TARP last September, and the Tea Party since then, and all the different things, do you think those are real? Do you think they're going to last, or do you think those are flashes?
I think it's real in the sense that we see things like this often. I mean, you know, it can manifest in different ways. I mean, you know, 16 years ago, whatever it was Ross Perot, you know.
Right.
With a verbal or at least a symbolic challenge to the two main parties. But one of the things is government has gotten so big. It's not like in the early days of the country when you'd have political parties that could pop up regionally and then take over.
Right.
Now the federal government is so big that there aren't any issues that are just regional. I mean, the government's in everything from, you know, insurance to energy, and there's no way for any third party to really, you know, even though, you know, I'm a small L libertarian, there's no way for any other third party like the Libertarians or something, the capital L Libertarians, to really take in. Because if a third party adopts a platform that becomes popular, imagine, say, it's school choice, or imagine, you know, temporarily, because it's always temporary, but imagine temporarily Social Security reform or something, the other parties will simply adopt it, you know, because there's nothing.
Libertarians reject it.
That's right. So there's nothing that government, you know, the two political parties will leave alone.
So Libertarians are not much compromisers. Is that what you're saying? That much on compromise?
That's right. You know, no.
And I want to come back to a couple other things in the minute and a half or so we got left.
Yeah.
I've been fighting all year long. Actually, I've been fighting for 12 years to get real health care reform that makes sense to the marketplace, not the government.
Make sure you look at our new paper.
I've been working on this for a long time, and you have been too. And I've been fighting the political approach to health care reform that's been going on this year, not the true reform that we should be doing. I've been fighting that this year. I'm starting to feel like maybe we're going to completely block the possibility of a reform bill this year. What do you think?
I do think so. I mean, a lot of the people are scared when they see a 2,000-page bill that nobody's read, you know, in health care.
That was just an outline when it left the committee.
That's right. I mean, nobody knows what's in there, and even, you know, the politicians say so. They say they haven't read it. It's scary to people. Most people do have access to health care, and they recognize, too, that part of the reason for fear is when you lose insurance if you change a job or something like that. So the logical thing to do there is kind of decouple health insurance from employment. Mm-hmm. That's one of the solutions there, along with, you know, all kinds of ways we can be creative about helping the needy get health insurance. You know, through you know, generous charitable deductions.
So basically, Wayne, you agree with me that it's probably not going to become a law this year.
Oh, I don't think it will. I mean, now, you know, we can always be surprised.
I hope that's the case. I've got to wrap it up though, Wayne. CEI.org, right?
CEI.org. Take a look. Thank you, Jim.
Check it out. Hey, Wayne, thanks for 11 and a half good years.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen, he's been a dividing resource for us all these years, and we appreciate him very much. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back tomorrow. More of this mayhem starting tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingham. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.